Okay, as you will see, I don't generally go in order as I go through the parasha. There's reasons why I do different things at different times, certain pieces. I want to make sure I get in, so it sometimes gets a little random. But I will tell you mitzvah each time which pasuk it is, so you'll be able to find it. I'd like to start this week with a pasuk, Perek Yud Zayin, Parashat Shoftim, pasuk Vav. Pasuk says, Al pishnayim edim, oy shloisha edim, yomus ha-meis. Two edim or three edim, the meis will die. Lo yomus al piyadachot, you don't kill somebody with one ed. I was by a chasna this week in Antwerp. Dain Dunner spoke by the chasna. And he said over, there's a pasuk that says, Toivim shnayim mino echad. Two are better than one. The wisest of all men tells us, two are better than one. It's better 2 million than 1 million. Better two steaks than one steak. Better to know two mesechtas than one mesechta. It doesn't seem like you would need the wisest of all men to tell you, Toivim hashnayim min echad. Two are better than one. We can understand the pasuk with what the explanation of the Nesiv on this pasuk over here. The pasuk says over here, Al pi shnayim edim. With two edim, you paskin. Says the Netziv in Hamikdavah, Shnei Edim Iboya. Why does it say Shnayim Edim? It should say Shnei Edim. Says the Netziv, there's a difference between Shnei and Shnayim. Both mean two. There's different meanings. Shnei means two things that are exactly the same. In Parshas Bereishis you have Shnei Hamoiris Hagadolim, the two big luminaries. They were equal, the sun and the moon. So Shnei means two the same. On Yom Kippur, you have Shnei Se'irim. You have two Se'irim. And they are equal, the two Se'irim. So whenever you have the word Shnei, it means two things which are exactly the same. Shnayim means two things that are different. For instance, by the Kruvim, it says, Shnayim by the Kruvim, because the two Kruvim were different. One was Zachar, one was Nekeva. There he uses Shnayim. Shnei means the same. Shnai means different. There's a story with the Vilna Gaon. In his town, they gave edus about a certain woman, and Beis Din paskened that the husband has to divorce his wife. Since these two edim said edus about her, that she did something wrong, they said the husband has to divorce her. So after the Pesak Din, this couple went to the Vilna Gaon. They were crying to him, and they said, it's not true, these two edim are lying. She didn't do anything wrong at all. And the Vilna Gaon says, there's nothing I can do. Beis Din paskened. Whatever Beis Din paskened with two edim, that's the psak. I can't change the psak of Beis Din. But she was crying and crying, he was crying, and the Vilna Gaon felt there's something in what they're saying. So the Vilna Gaon called in the two edim. And he asked each ed separately to say over their edus. And each one said their edus. And the Vilna Gaon said to them, started screaming, them, you're lying. Admit you're lying. And in the end, they admitted. And he said, how did he know they were lying? Because they said their edus exactly the same. You can't have two people saying exactly the same thing. Even when you see, two people see the same thing. People see things from a different perspective. They see things differently. So when you're saying it over, there's going to be slight differences. When it's exactly the same, it means you planned it. You planned together to say over the same story. He could see from that they were lying. So that's why it says in the pasuk over here, Al pi shnayim edim. You don't want shnei edim. You don't want the two edim to be exactly the same. You want shnayim edim. And the Siv says over here that this is Yerushalmi that says that. Two edim saying exactly the same thing, you don't believe them. No, he doesn't say you don't believe them. Yerushalmi says you have to check them out much further. Ask a lot more questions. You can't not believe them because of that. But don't just let them go. Don't just take it. When they say an edus normally, you accept an edus. Here you don't. You've got to really, really drive them crazy and try and get the truth out of them. So that's what it means. Later on, he goes in the parasha, it does say shnei edim. Because b'dieved, it's good. Even if they said the same thing. But you have to be very careful when they're saying exactly the same thing. So Dain Dun explained that toivim shnei min ha-echad. What does that mean? Two are better than one. That means we're not talking about shnei, it's shnayim. Shnai means you have two things that are different. And the two things that are different complement each other. They, even though they're very different, they're compatible and they work together. When they work together, the two things, and become one together, and they get on with each other, even though they're different, that's better than one thing. One thing as a whole, obviously everything works out nicely, got one. Toiv and Mashnaim, you got two things that are very different and still work it out together. And he says a couple is like that. A man has his role in life. The woman has her role in life. The two come together as one. That is a very special thing. Toiv and Mashnaim, two things that are different. And they come together as one. That's better than just having one thing which is automatically one. Okay, towards the beginning of the parasha, you have a pasuk, Peri Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Ches. No, it's after this what we just did. Sorry. No, it's not. Yud Zayin Ches. Sorry, Peri Yud Zayin pasuk Ches. The pasuk says, Ki Yipolim Imcha Davar LaMishpat. When you have difficulties in judgment, Bein Dom LaDom. Between different types of blood, you want to know if it's Tomei or Tor, Bein Din Ledin, different types of Dinim, Bein Nega Lenega, different types of Taras, Divrei Rives Pisharecho, you have arguments in your gates, the come to Valisa Lamokim, and you come to the Sanhedrin. You come to the Kohen, the Shofet in your days, and you come to ask Talmidei Chachamim to make a Psak. There's Midrashim, Zoyas, a lot of different who speak out a similar concept over here. They say a pshat in the posuk, not posh a pshat in the posuk, very yesodistic a pshat over here. Ki yipolei mimcha davar. Posh a pshat, like I says, you have difficulty in halacha. But they teach like this, ki yipolei mimcha davar. In life, you have things which are pellet to you, wondrous, it doesn't make sense to you. You have questions on life. What questions do you have? La mishpat, the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bein dom ledom, between one blood and another blood. What does that mean? The posuk says, when you shecht a behema, the chiso es domo, you have to cover its blood. You have to treat the blood with respect. And you have a kasha. An animal's blood we have to treat with respect. And what happened to Klal Yisrael's blood? Klal Yisrael's blood has been flowing in the streets for thousands of years. For the last 2,000 years, Jewish blood has been flowing. Whether it's in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's in many different places, all over the world, pogroms, blood libels. And it's a Holocaust. Cossacks attacking. Jewish blood has been flowing. You have a question in judgment of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bein dom ledom. How come behemoth blood you're so careful about? And Klai Yisrael's blood doesn't matter. The next one, Bein din ledin, different types of dinim. There's a din you cannot shecht a mother and child on the same day. A mother and child, a behemoth you cannot shecht on the same day the mother and child. But by Klal Yisrael Nebuch, over the years, how many mothers and children and parents and their children have been slaughtered the same day? Why is it, Ribbono Shel Olam, an animal you're careful about, the animal shouldn't suffer the mother and child the same day. And Klal Yisrael, they're dying the same day by the thousands. Bein Nega Lenega. In Tzaras, there's a din. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu first gives Tzaras, first on a person's house, then it gets closer to his beged. And then it's on the person, the Taras. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it in that order, before you get the person. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing Klal Yisrael, how many times do we see it's not the money, it's not the begodim. Right away it's the foshas. Klal Yisrael get killed right away. So how come in Taras it goes in stages, and by Klal Yisrael they just get wiped out instantly? And the Pasuk answers the question. Divrei Rivois Pishurecho. Words of argument in your gates. There is sinas chinam in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael aren't getting along together, and this is what causes all the suffering of Klal Yisrael. If there would be Avos Yisrael, we wouldn't have all of this suffering. Perig Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches says, V'hoyo kishiftoi al kisei mamlachtoi. You have a melech in Klal Yisrael. When he sits on his throne, the kosav loy is Mishnah Torah Zois. He has to write two Sifri Torah. So Rashi says, Rashi had a kasha over here. Rashi had a kasha, that why the Sivz Chom explains, that why does it say the words when he sits on his throne, he has to write two Sefer Torah. Just right, he has to have two Sefer Torah. Obviously, before his king, he doesn't have this halach, he's not a king yet. So why does it write, when he's sitting on his throne, now he's the melech, he has to write two Sefer Torah? That was the kasha Rashi had. And Rashi says a teretz. The Chedusharim says a different teretz to Rashi's kasha. He says, when a person is oimid l'gdula, a person gets a position, becomes great, like a person becomes a melech. Moichlin loy kol avoinoisof. All his sins get forgiven. So it's telling the melech, v'hoya kishivtoi al kisim amlachtoi. On the, when he sits, al kisim amlachtoi. When he becomes king, how does he, when he becomes king, what happens that day? He gets forgiven all his averis. V'hoya, it should always be kishivtoi. Like when he sat, al kisim amlachtoi. He should always remain in that position. He always feels, it's always like the day he became king, all his life he remains that way. That he doesn't have those averes anymore. It's just like he became king for the rest of his malchus. And that is true with a chosn as well. A chosn gets married, he has a din of a melech, a chosn, when he gets married. It should always be kishivtoi, like the day he sat, al kisim amlachtoi. Like on the day he got married, it should always remain the same way. They shouldn't have any averis at all as well. And you could say the end of the pasuk explains how does he do that. The kosav lo yis mishnah Torah azayis. He has a sefer Torah with him. Everything he does is al pi Torah, then he won't have any problems at all. Perek Chof, Pasuk Dalad. Pasuk Hey. It's talking about where Klal Yisrael are going to battle. And the Meshuach Melchama gets up and he makes an announcement. Miyo Isha Shenota Kerem, somebody planted a vineyard and he didn't redeem it yet. He returns home from battle. Sorry, the pasuk before that is, if you built a new house and you didn't let, you weren't yet mechanachin, you didn't start living in it yet, you go back from battle. Then it says, you plant a vineyard, you go back from battle. And then it says, somebody who had erusin, he got married. He didn't yet have nisuin, he didn't finish the marriage yet. He goes back home. Each time it says, why does he do this? Why does he go home? Pen yomus b'melchama. Three times it says. It says, he built a house, he goes back home. Pen yomus b'melchama, he might die in battle. Next pasuk, plants a vineyard, go back. Pen yomus b'melchama. Third time, he got married, he goes back. Pen yomus b'melchama. On the third one, Rashi comes and says, pen yomus b'melchama, kedayu sheyomus. He deserves to die. Why? He didn't listen to the kohen. He didn't listen to the kohen, so he deserves to die. Why does Rashi say that the third time? Three times it says he might die. On the third one, Rashi says he deserves to die. Rashi could have written that the first time. He was over the words of the Kohen. He deserves to die. So I once heard a very beautiful pshat. Pshat is, the first time he did something wrong. The Kohen said, go back home. Why didn't he go home? He wanted to be frum, extra frum. I'm going to go lifnim mishur hazidin. I'm going to go and fight. He was wrong. He was told not to. So it's wrong. And he might die. But we don't say he deserved to die. Yeah, he might die. We don't say such a strong lashon. Kedayu sheyom, as he deserves to die. That's when he built a house. That's when he planted a vineyard. The third time he was extra frum. What happened the third time? The third time he just got married. Now his being frum, it's not just nageir to him. He has a wife as well. He's being frum on somebody else's cheshbon. It's like a guy gets up. He wants to learn before shachris. So he wants to learn before shachris. He gets up in his dorm room, turns the lights on, and he makes a whole noise in there, turns the radio on, and he wakes up the whole dorm room. Or the other way, a guy learns late at night, and he comes in, and disturbs everybody. It's very nice, you want to be frum. You can't be frum on somebody else's cheshbon. So on the last time, when he goes to battle, when he had a wife, he had no right to go. Only on that time, Rashi says, kedayu sheyom, he deserves to die. This time is the worst of the three, because this time he went was frum on somebody else's cheshbon. The pasuk says, "Mio ish hayore v'rachalevov." The kohen would announce, "Whoever is fearful, is afraid, v'rachalevov softer heart, yelech should go v'yoshav lebeisoy, who should return home from battle." And Rashi brings down Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, "Hayore, what does it mean? He's fearful. Ma'averish shabiyodai. It doesn't mean he's scared of battle." It means he's scared because he has averus. He's scared he doesn't have schusim to live through the battle. But the Lashon of Rabbi Yosef Aglili is interesting. What is he afraid of, he says? Averus shebiyodai. Why couldn't it just say he's afraid of his averus? What's averus shebiyodai? Averus in his hand. So the pshat is that a person who has averus is going to battle. He wants to have schusim. He's got averus. It's a very simple procedure. You do tshuva. You do tshuva, your averus are forgiven, and you can go to battle. See, what does he have to be afraid of? Just do tshuva now. And that's a time when people do tshuva very easy, when there's a danger, life and death. But there's a type of tshuva you can't do. What is that? Ben adam l'chaveroi. You have somebody's money. You owe them money, and you didn't take, or you stole money from somebody. Ben adam l'chaveroi, you can't just do tshuva on. What do you have to do? You have to pay him back the money first. Averus shebiyodai. You have an averi in your hand. If he's afraid of those averis, he has no choice. He has to go back home. So Dafkit said averus shebiyodai. Other averis is no problem. But averus shebiyodai, there's no way out. You're stuck now. You have to go home to repay the money. So they refers to averus shebiyodai. Averis in his hand. I was thinking something very negay now at the beginning of the year. A story like this. You may have heard. And I'm not saying this is an emes pshat. It's just an idea to bring out a point. There was a person who had a skill that he was able to predict what was in somebody's hand. He knew what somebody was holding their hand, even though the hand was fist was clenched. Person be holding a key. No, he would tell them it's a key. Now, the pebble, whatever they had in their hand, he could tell, just looking at the hand. The king heard about it, and the king said he doesn't believe such a thing. He's going to prove this guy's a liar. So they called the person there, and he didn't want to go. He had no choice. The king asked him. And the king had a plan like this. The king put in his hand a butterfly. And he says, "Okay, you know everything." He says, "You know, I do the best I can." So he says, "Okay. What I have in my hand?" And he planned this, what he's going to do like this. He says, "A butterfly. Okay, is it alive or is it dead?" And the king's plan was very simple. If he says it's alive, so he just crushes it. See? Alive, it's dead. Then he kills him. And if he says it's dead, he just lets it fly out. It's alive. So he knew this is the way he can get rid of this person. And it'll be, he's doing it upi mishpat. It's correct. The guy's a liar. So he asks him, "What is a butterfly? Is it alive or is it dead?" And he looks at the king's hand. He says to him, "That is in your hands." How successful you are this year in yeshiva, that is in your hands. We can try and help you as much as we can. But after all said and done, it is in your hands. Somebody goes back from battle. What averus does he go back from? Averus shebiyodai. So at first I thought it means those averus shebiyodai that were in his hand to be able to deal with. Those averus he could have been koivish as yetzer. That's what I thought at first. Only the ones that were in your hands. And then I thought about it more and I realized, no, it's telling you is that all averus are in your hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us any nisoyan which we cannot overcome. So it's telling you which averus did he come back from? Rabbi Yisagi is telling us he is in life. Averus shebiyodai. Averus, all averus. Averus that were in his hand, because all averus are in your hand. You could have conquered if you would have wanted to. So I'd like to leave you with this message for Shabbos, and that is to take with you, and that is, Rabbi Yisai, don't forget this. For the whole year this year, there's a limit what we can do. You're the one who counts. It's all in your hands. Good Shabbos.